fix it. Well, good evening. Let me start by saying what a blessing and an honor it is to be back in God's house tonight and to see everybody. And I hope everybody's had a good week, a blessed week. And we've certainly been blessed with another opportunity to come back out to God's house tonight and just to get into His Word a little while and just to learn and to communicate and to worship with Him. You know, there's many forms of worship, and it's not just praying or preaching or singing. You know, it can also be just in the simple things. Just when you stop for a little while, when you pick up God's Word, when you read, when you study, just when you stop and talk with God. Not necessarily in a prayer or anything special, but just to sit down and talk to Him, to communicate with Him and to work through His Word. Those times of worship, those are also times of worship that we should truly be thankful for tonight. And so that's all that we're going to try to do tonight is just to get together with the Lord for a little while and just to worship tonight, to get into His Word, to study, to ask that He show us something in His Word tonight that we could all leave here with something new, with something to bring us through, to get us through the rest of this week. And so that's what we'll try to do here tonight. If you got your Bible with you, begin turning there to the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. Caleb, can you turn me down? I can hear myself a lot. I'm ringing. But there in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark is where we'll start out tonight. And just a familiar scripture, maybe a familiar parable there in the Bible that we're going to look at there tonight. But, you know, if we had maybe a thought or something that we maybe wanted you to focus on tonight or to grasp a hold of, it would be the thought, changing the church. And I don't mean that in a physical sense. I don't mean that, you know, I'm here to tell you tonight that it's time to tear it down and start over. I don't mean anything like that, but I'm talking about changing the makeup of the church, changing the spirituality of the church, and not only the church itself as a building, not only a church like Liberty, but the church that's inside of us, changing ourselves, changing our churches, our temples, our examples that we are to the world, and some things that God, I believe, wants us to work on. So if you got your Bible with you, we'll be there in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. We'll start there in the 25th verse. And it says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto Him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told all the truth, and said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" And may God add the blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. Like I said, it's a very familiar scripture. You know, that's been preached many times and in many different ways and had many messages brought off of it. But like I said tonight, I want to focus on changing the church. And the first thing that I want you to realize here in this scripture is that there's going to be several things that I'm going to try to relate from this scripture to today's churches. You know, we're going to try to maybe build some bridges between this woman with the issue of blood and our churches today. And so the first thing that I want you to realize about this woman is that the Bible does not ever give us the name of this woman. This woman was not known by her name. She was not known by her looks. The Bible didn't describe her looks. The Bible didn't tell us her name. It didn't tell us where she lived. It didn't tell us anything about her other than her issue. And so it's my belief that because of that, that in this community that she lived in the area that she lived in, she was probably known by her issue. She was known as the woman that had the issue of blood. That's how she was known. That's what people referred to her as. That's how people talked about her, maybe communicated about her, as they knew her as the woman with the issue of blood. And what I want you to realize tonight is that if we are not very careful, that it's our churches that will also be known by their issues. We will not be known as Liberty Baptist Church. We won't be known as the church that's right down the road from the high school. You won't be known as the church in Carnesville, or you won't be known by the church that has Remix or Awana. We won't be known by all these things. But if we're not very careful, what we'll quickly find is that our churches are known rather by our issues than by our good doings. You see, I don't know this woman. It could have been that this woman was a very wealthy woman. It said that she had spent all that she had to see the physician. She could have been a very wealthy woman. She could have been a very beautiful woman. She could have been a woman of great stature at one time. She could have been very well known in the community. But what we'll find is that very quickly she was consumed by her issue. And you would be amazed at how quickly that churches can go from being known by the church that had a great revival, or the church that has always spiritual filled services, or the church that is always doing outreaches. It doesn't take but just one issue for all of a sudden you going, oh, the church where that happened, or the church that had this issue, or that had that issue, or that this went on with, or that went on in. And we all know, especially in these small towns, it does not take very long for the issues to get out. It does not take very long for the issues to spread and to be talked about. Very seldom what we'll find is that many few people are talking about the good things that happened in the church. But there's a lot of folks that want to talk about the bad things in the church. And so what I want you to realize tonight is that not only as a church like Liberty Church, but also as ourselves as born-again Christians, we are the church of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and it's very easy for us as Christians, as people that are supposed to be examples for Christ, to be known by our issues. You see, I can go on all these mission trips. I can come and I can preach all these messages. I can get in the choir and I can sing and I can pray and I can do all these things, and I can go to all these events to try to show my love for Christ. I can try to express my outward love and my passion for Christ. But it doesn't take but one issue to be known by something else. And so what I want you to realize tonight is that as a church, as Liberty Baptist Church, but also as Christians, as saved members of Christ, we have to make sure that we're very careful in what we do, that we're very careful in what we say, because just like this woman, we could very quickly become known only by our issue. The second thing that I want you to realize tonight is that there was two different ways that this woman had tried to solve her problems. And I feel like a lot of times in churches that there's really two different ways that we try to solve our problems. There's two different ways that we try to solve our differences, that we try to work through things. And the first way was found there in the 26th verse. It says, and she had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. In other words, it says that first this woman turned to the world to fix her problems. And even as churches, as buildings and as gatherings and as groups that are here to worship Christ, many times I feel like we turn to the world to want to solve our problems. We turn to the world when we have differences, when we have problems, when we can't get along, we turn to the world to fix things, when we ourselves are gathered together in the name of Christ. You see, this woman, it says at first, it says that she turned to the world. It said that it cost her everything she had. In other words, it said that she took every possession that she had physically and she gave it all up to try to fix her issue. She took everything she had and gave it all up, and she spent it all. She gave it all away. She did everything she could physically and earthly to solve her problem. But the Bible tells us there in that very verse that she did nothing but actually grow worse. And I feel like a lot of times as churches, when we come across problems or we come across issues, we say, well, you know, we're not growing as fast as we want to, or we're not doing enough of this, or we're not doing enough of that, and we say, you know what, we'll just do this, we'll spend this money, we'll do that, or we'll give this money, we'll do that, and we turn to all these earthly things, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I'm saying that if it's not done in Christ, if it's not done spiritually, then it's all done in vain. But you see, it's the things that we do spiritually. The giving that we do spiritually, Brother Joey, that's what makes a difference in our lives. That's what truly brings the cure and brings the cause. And we as churches a lot of times will do all these things, all these physical things and all these worldly things to try to get through it, to try to endure, to try to grow, to try to do all these things, when if we don't do it in Jesus' name, it's all been done in vain. We as Christians, we as walking, living, breathing churches of Christ, many times when we come across problems in our lives, we turn straight to the world and all the things that the world says will fix it. But just like this woman, what we'll quickly find is that not only did we not get better, but we got worse. But let me tell you something, church. There's a world out there tonight that is searching for answers. You don't have to go very far to find somebody that's got a problem, to find somebody that's struggling. You don't have to go very far or talk to many people to find somebody that's searching for hope, that's searching for answers, that's wanting to know why this happened, why that didn't happen. There's a world full of people that are searching for answers. But if we as the church are only known as our issues, then why would they ever want to come here to find answers? You see, if all they hear, when people talk about Liberty Baptist Church, if all they hear about is the drama or this problem that's going on or that problem that's going on or so-and-so, they're not getting along with this group and this group's not getting along with that group and I saw this and I saw that and all these other things, why on earth would they want to come to the place known by their issues to find answers for their issues? We as Christians, if we're known by our problems, if we're known by the things that we do in this world, if we're known by all the wrongdoings that we do, by all the physical, worldly, fleshly things that we do, why on earth would people want to find answers in us when we walk around every day acting like we have none? We walk around just like we have an issue that's never been cured. We walk around like we've given everything that we have and the world's just not getting any better and it's just terrible this and terrible that and this didn't go how I wanted to and that didn't want to go how I wanted to. And very quickly we are known by our issues. And I believe if I asked each and every one of you, you could probably all give me an example of something that you've heard out of some church. And that's pretty much what you know about that church. You may have never stepped inside of that church. You may have never been a part of a service in that church, but you know the drama that went on because that's what people were talking about. And so very quickly, we're known by our issues. So the first way that this woman with the issue of blood that she tried to solve it was the earthly way. And we as Christians, and I say that completely and wholly, we as Christians all the time turn to the world to solve our answers. Whether it's you turn to a bottle, whether it's you turn to drugs, whatever it may be, we turn to all these different things to try to solve our problems. And you say, well, that doesn't happen to Christians. That's just the lost people that do that. That's just the people that don't already know God, the people that don't come to church. They're the ones that do that. That's why they're known by those issues. No, it's Christians. It's the church. It's the living body of Christ that is turning to the world when we already know that we have the one, the Creator, that has all the answers. We already know that we have Him and that we can speak to Him, yet we choose to go to the world first. You see, for some reason, we've got it in our heads that it'll cost us less to turn to the world than it will be to turn to the church. And I don't understand that. Because you see, we end up just like this woman. We end up with nothing. We give everything we've had. We've tried all these different ways. We've tried all these different people. You know, all these people that said this would work or that would work. And we give them this and we give them that. And slowly but surely we give away everything we have. This woman here in this passage had given away everything she had except for her very life. That was all she had left, Brother Joey. That's all she had left to give. And it's hard to see churches and to see Christians that get to that point when you know that all the answers were waiting for them right there. So there's two ways she went about fixing her problem. She went about the earthly way, but then she also went about it the Jesus way. You say, the Bible says there, it says she knew if she could just touch the hem of His garment, if she could just get close enough to Him to touch Him, just to feel His presence, just to know that she was in the presence of a holy God, just to touch Him, she knew within her heart, within her body, that it would fix everything she had. Why do we as Christians not have that faith? Why do we not have that faith just to go out and to touch the hem of His garment? Why don't we have the faith just to let the world be the world and to leave all those things aside and just to come and just to touch the hem of His garment? One thing that I want you to notice about this is it says that when she touched that of Jesus' garment, and instantly, it said that she felt in her body that her problems were cured. It said that instantly she knew that a difference had been made in her life. It said that instantly she felt something different about herself, that she felt a way she had never felt before. And we all, as born-again Christians, know that feeling. We know the difference it made when we came down to an old rugged altar and we prayed to God and asked Him to save our souls, and instantly He made a difference in our lives. Instantly, our name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Instantly, our homes were created in heaven. But how often do we forget about that? How often, when someone comes up to you and you ask you, how are you? How's your week been? You know, what's going on in life? Tell me, what you got going on? How many times do we jump instantly to the issues? Well, this happened at work, and my best friend's going through this, and my family's going through that, and this isn't how I want it to be, and that's not how I want it to be. And it seems like all we focus on is the issues. And yet we want to know that why people know us by our issues. It's because that's all we talk about. It says, but here she says, she could just touch the hem of her garment. And church, here's something I want you to realize. It said it did not cost her a thing. It was just a touch. That's all it was just a touch of her garment. It did not cost her a thing in the world. And I can't help to imagine that she probably felt, you know, sometimes when you stop and your truck's out of gas and you stop and you get gas, it's $2.76 a gallon. You go 2 miles down the road and it's $2.55 a gallon. That burns me up. I run on fumes if I think that their gas is cheaper by 2 cents a mile up the road before I'll stop and pay 2 cents more for it. That's just me. I will absolutely run on fumes till I cannot go no more to make it to wherever I think gas is going to be cheapest. But you know, when you do that, you look at yourself and you're like, man, you're a fool. You could have went two more miles down the road and saved all that money. You're a fool. Or maybe you go out, maybe you buy yourself a new phone or TV or car, whatever it is, and then a week later you're sitting in the living room, you're watching your new TV, and Best Buy's got a sale going on, 50% off. You just, man, just makes you mad. Makes you feel like a fool. You're like, man, why didn't I just wait? You know, what was I thinking? You know, I feel like I just got ripped off. I can't help but to feel like that's probably how this woman with an issue of blood probably felt. She said, here I am. I've given everything I had. I give away all my money, all my possessions. She probably gave away her house. It says that she gave away everything she had. It said that she had sold or give away to try to solve her problem. And all of a sudden, she just touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and everything's fixed. How many of us would kick ourselves around and say, man, I gave everything I had. I gave away all my money. I gave away my car, my house. I did all these things. And all I had to do was come and touch him. And how do you think she felt the Bible says there, it says that the woman suffered for 12 years. 12 years she went through the pain and the agony and the hurtfulness of being known by her issue. 12 years, not only did she deal with the physical sense of having an issue of blood, but for those 12 years, she also dealt with the emotional pain of being known by her issue. How many churches and how many Christians suffer for years and years and years simply because they won't come and touch the hem of Jesus' garment? How many of us sit there on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever it is, and we know that God is speaking to us, we know that God is moving in us, we know that He's wanting us just to come to this altar and to talk to Him and pray to Him, yet we decide to sit there in agony and pain and discomfort? Why? We act like the preacher got up here and said, well, you can come pray, but I'm going to need you to write a check before you get down here first. We act like it's going to cost us the world. We act just like this woman did, like it's going to cost us more than we can ever afford, when really and truly, the price has been paid. Do we realize that tonight? Do we realize that the price has already been paid? That it won't cost us a thing in this worldly sense? All we had to do was come touch it. How many of us suffer through life? Whether it's an issue of blood, whether it's an issue emotionally, whether it's an issue physically, whatever it is, how many of us suffer and are known by our issues, not only the physical pain, but the emotional pain, because we just won't come get help? We suffer. You see, and you know, I titled this Changing the Church, and here's one of the reasons why. Not only are our churches known by our issues, but I believe that there's been a very big misconception developed about this altar. You see, somewhere along the line, and I don't know if it's a Baptist thing or what it is, or if it's a Georgia thing, I don't know, but I've seen it, and I've been to a lot of churches, preached in a lot of places, and been a part of a lot of meetings, and I see it just about everywhere I go. We've developed this misconception that this thing that we call an altar is just for the lost people. We think that to come up here and pray, you've got to be lost, that you've got to be just rock bottom, that you've got to be the worst of the worst. You know, he's going up there, oh, I saw him, he was out there at that bar Saturday night, that's why he's going up there to pray. Or I saw her, she was out with that man that wasn't her husband, that's why she needs to go pray. Or that person, they're lost. Or that person, they've hit rock bottom, you know, everything's going wrong in their life. That's the only people that need to come up here and pray. Do you realize that this altar is just as much for the most saved, and the highest of highs, as it is for the lowest of lows? Do we realize tonight that this altar was not simply built for the lost, but also for the saved? We want to know why we don't see life in our services. We want to know why we don't see maybe the Spirit move like we want it to. We want to know why we don't feel God moving, and we don't see these great revivals that we want to see. We want to know why we don't see people getting saved like we want to see them saved, and all these different things, all these issues, we focus on them. We've taken the life out of our churches. When's the last time that you, as a Christian, let loose of that pew and just came top to Jesus? Not saying you had anything wrong, but would it kill us just to come to this altar and say, Lord, thank you, and go back and sit down? We've lost the life out of our services. And it's because we as Christians have grown lifeless. Church, I want to tell you something tonight, and I'll be honest with you, this is 100% how I think. I think the devil is okay with church. I really do. I have no doubt in my mind that he's okay with church. Why? Because he knows that most churches, not all of them, but most churches, are filled with people that he can no longer touch. They're filled with saved, born-again Christians. Their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They've been saved. They received Jesus. And nothing he can ever do can change that. He's already lost those, so he's not even worried about them because he knows he's already lost that battle. But he also knows that most of the time, our church is going to stay inside these four walls. Do you realize that the devil is okay with shutting us up inside what we call our churches? That he's okay with us praying and singing and worshiping God in here because he knows that we'll do it in here, but as soon as we go out that back door, we act like we've never known God? You see, you want to know the problem with our churches is that our churches only happen in this place. They only happen for an hour on Sunday morning or maybe an hour on Wednesday night. They only happen a little bit at a time. And the devil's okay with that because he knows the lost folks, the people that he can have an effect on, the people that he still can get a hold of, the people whose lives he can still ruin, that most of them aren't in the church because we won't bring them in. He's okay. He's shut us up inside our four walls. And he's not worried about us coming out. We've got to change the church. We've got to quit focusing on our issues. We've got to quit turning to the world. We've got to start turning to Jesus, and we've got to start having church outside of church. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you with me tonight? Am I the only one that feels this way? Because sometimes I realize that it's really easy to feel like it's just you. But that's the problem. Our churches have been confined, and once they're confined, he no longer has to worry about them going out. Something else I want you to notice here in this scripture. A lot of times on Sunday mornings, you know, we pray. Say, God said, I want you to be in our services tonight. God, we want to feel your presence. God, we want you to come and be a part of Liberty Baptist Church. God, we want to feel your Holy Spirit move. God, this, God, that. And we beg him and plead to him to come and be with us. And we want to feel the Spirit move. Because Lord knows there's nothing greater than feeling the Spirit move when you're gathered together with brothers and sisters in Christ. But something that I want you to notice here. There in verse 30 it says, "And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Here's what I want you to realize tonight. If this woman had not touched Jesus, I don't know that Jesus would have ever really noticed her. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus was searching through the crowd looking for the woman with an issue of blood. It doesn't say that he was looking to heal somebody. It doesn't say that he was was looking for someone that had an issue and that he was searching. It doesn't say that he was searching for a particular woman. It simply says that he was passing through the crowd. But when she touched him, when she made the move to Jesus, when she quit caring about all those people that were around her, when she quit caring about all her earthly problems, when she was willing to give the one thing she had left, her life. When she was willing to give the one thing she had left, her life, when she was willing to give it over to Jesus, she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, she said, I'll be healed. And you know what happens? It says not only immediately was she healed, it says, but immediately Jesus in Himself recognized what had happened. It says immediately Jesus recognized not only what had happened, but it says that He recognized, it said that He turned and He looked about to see who had done it. It says, and he had no problem finding this woman. We want Jesus to be in our services. We want to feel the Holy Spirit move in our services. I have no doubt in my mind that He's here. I have no doubt in my mind that He's passing by. I have no doubt in my mind that He's in the midst. But when's the last time that we actually reached out and touched Him? When's the last time that we grabbed the Holy Spirit by the hand and begged Him and pleaded Him to come down and to be in our services? When's the last time that we made the move towards Jesus instead of waiting for Jesus to come to us? When's the last time? You see, I believe that if this woman was just standing in the crowd, if she had just watched Him go by, I believe her issue would have remained. I do. And how many times on Sunday mornings do we come in and we sit down in our comfy spot, in our pew, and we just watch as Jesus goes by? You know what I'm talking about? You can tell who really feels the Spirit in a service and who's just there. You can tell. You know who's really and truly communicating with Jesus, who's really and truly following Jesus, who's really and truly in touch with the Holy Spirit, and who's really and truly experiencing worship in their hearts. And how many times do we sit there in our pews and we watch as others come down to the altar? As we watch as others come down and pray and get blessed, as we watch as others go up to sing and praise God, and we watch as others pray, and we watch in all these other things. I believe in all my heart that woman could have watched all day and still had her issue. But it wasn't until she was willing to move that her issue was solved. Church, we want to see God move. We want to see revival break out. We want to see the Spirit take hold of our services. Then reach out and grab a hold of the Spirit and bring Him with you. You see, you say, well, Preacher Dave, when he got up there and prayed to start off service, he asked God to be with him. And I believe with all my heart that He's with Preacher Dave every Sunday, because I know that he wouldn't be able to get up here and preach without Him. But where does that leave you? Does that leave you simply in the crowd watching, waiting on the Spirit to come grab a hold of you? You say, well, I'll go pray if I feel like Jesus is wanting me to. And you can feel that conviction. But you know what? Sometimes it's like we're waiting on Him to literally come grab us by the arm and drag us down here. He's not going to do that. This isn't something that you're going to be forced into. This isn't something that's going to be forced upon you, that you're going to be forced into, that anybody else is ever can decide for you. This is about you. Liberty Baptist as a church has got to decide. Do we want Him to be known by our issues? Or do we want Him to be known by the miracle that happened? You see, it says, not only does it say that instantaneously that this woman was healed of her issue, but I believe instantaneously she was no longer known as the woman with the issue of blood. I believe that everyone there from that moment on knew her as the woman that Jesus had worked a miracle in. Instantaneously, our churches, not only ourselves as Christians, but at Liberty Baptist as a church, we can instantly go from being known by our issues to being known by the miracles that God is doing, to be known by the Spirit that is flowing through our services, to be known by the souls that are being saved, by the lives that are being changed, and by the revival that God is working in each and every one of our hearts. But it starts with me and you. God's not going to kick the doors down and say, hey, we're going to have a revival starting this Sunday. That's not how it works. We've got to invite Him. We've got to ask Him. We've got, just like this woman, it said that all that this woman had left to give was her life. Are we willing to do the same thing for God? If we truly want to see our differences in our church, in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, in our homes, in our schools, in our friendships, whatever it is. You say, well, you think that what I do in church really affects those things? I do, with all my heart. Because there's a difference between somebody that comes walking into work Monday with a smile on their face, knowing that God loves them, knowing that He's walking side by side with them, that have been blessed by in church Sunday morning, that know that they've talked with God, and they're just walking on the top of the world. And somebody that comes in and says, well, preacher preached till 1 o'clock, I was starving to death, and then my table was gone at the Mexican restaurant. It was terrible. You won't say, well, how does what happens on Sunday affect what happens at work? There it is. How does it affect my family? Well, when you get up to go to church on Sunday morning, when you're excited, when you're happy, when you do it with a smile on your face, when you have joy about it, when it's not, oh, I have to get up on my one day off, or oh, I could just lay in bed today, or oh, this and oh, that, when it's, I cannot wait to get to the house of the Lord to see what God wants to do. You don't think your family members recognize that? You don't think that your friends recognize it when they say, hey, why don't you come out with us on Saturday night? We're going to go and do all this stuff. Why don't you come with us? It'll be a good time. And you say, no, I know that there's something better for me waiting on Sunday morning. You don't think people would notice that? You don't think that your pastor in Liberty, you've been blessed with a great pastor. You don't think your pastor will notice when you walk in Sunday morning, when you give him a hug and say, preacher, I've been praying and I know that God is going to do something big here this morning. And when you come in, you plop down on your pew and you look like you're just forced to be there. You don't think it'll make a difference? My God makes a difference. When we go from walking around with issues to walking around with miracles, we'll see a difference. It says that instantaneously this woman was healed. Instantaneously her life was changed. And you know what? I can't help but to think about all the people that had heard about what Jesus had did. All the people with all these other issues that had suffered through all these other problems, that had had such a hard time, that had done just like she had, that had turned to the world, that had given everything they had and still could not find an answer. But they heard about the woman with the issue of blood that was now the woman that Jesus had worked a miracle on. Liberty, you want to see your church grow? You want to see your youth grow? You want to see your active members grow? You want to see your choir grow? You want to see your altar get full? You want to see revival break out in this church? It doesn't take but one or two times of truly, genuinely giving your life over to God. And I promise you, there'll be others that want to know what's going on. There'll be others that heard, not about the issues, not about the drama, not about all the pain and suffering, but there'll be those that hear about the miracles that God is working in Liberty Baptist Church, in the life of its members, in the life of those around them, and all around the county. That's when we'll see revival. That's when we'll see a miracle. That's when we'll see God truly take hold of our lives and work mightily. But first, we've got to be willing to take hold of God. That's where it all starts. It starts with me. It starts with you. You can say, well, I'm just one person in a congregation. No. You're one more person that's bringing a part of God with them when you come. Y'all right? I love you guys. I promise. Let's do this. Let's do things a little bit different tonight. And we've got plenty of time. Don't miss your supper table, I promise. Got 20 minutes. But let's do this tonight. And everybody just close your eyes for just a minute. Close your eyes, bow your heads. And I've dismissed several, I guess, youth services like this, and I guess that's why God's impressed upon me to do it tonight. But I'm not going to ask you to do anything special tonight. I'm not going to ask you to say some special prayer, to repeat after me, to do any of this. But tonight, while everybody's eyes are closed, while everybody's head bowed, with those of you that really want to see a change, in your church. Would you come pray? Would you come ask God to change your church? Those of you that are going through issues in life, and you say, "Preacher, I'm too embarrassed. I can't make it up there to that altar. I just can't." Here's what I want you to do. As we dismiss, and I'm going to pray and we'll dismiss here in just a little while, will you just hang around for a minute? If you need somebody to pray with you tonight, will you just stay in your seat for just a minute? You'd be amazed. I'll sit in a youth class and I'll say, "Is everybody good?" "Oh yeah, yeah, we're good, preacher. We're good. Everything's great. Does anybody want to pray?" No, we don't need to pray. We're good. Because they're afraid of who's watching. So this is my solution while nobody's watching. If you need to pray tonight, would you just hang around and let us pray with you? Just keep that in mind. As I pray, we'll dismiss. And if you need to go, you can. If you want to come pray at this altar, you can. If you want, just hang around. And we'll pray with you. You're willing to. We'll be glad to. So let's pray. Almighty, gracious, Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you tonight, Lord. Lord, just how thankful we are, Lord, just to be able to come to your house, God. To be able to freely, Lord, to open up your word, to read it, and to understand, God, what it is that you want us to do with our lives, God. To be able to understand, God, the changes that you want to see happen, God, in our churches and in our lives as Christians, God. To see how mightily that you're wanting to work in our lives if we'd simply grab a hold of you, God, and let you work in us. God, I pray tonight, Lord, as each and every one of us, God, as we sit here tonight, Lord, I pray that we would each purpose in our hearts, God, to give our lives over to you, God, to grab a hold of you, God, to let you have control of our lives and to lead us, Lord, the way that you'd have us to go, Lord, to work mightily in our lives and the lives of those around us, God. Lord, I pray starting tonight, God, that we would all make a vow in our hearts, Heavenly Father God, to reach out to you, God, to want to change our churches, to want to feel the Holy Spirit stronger than we've ever felt it before, to want to have revival like we've never had it before, to want to see souls saved like we've never had it before, God. God, I pray tonight, each and every one of us in this place, God, with purpose in our hearts, God, to change our churches, God, to change our lives, God, so that they, Lord, are an example for you, so they are an example to the love that you have for us, God, and the miracles and the love that you're willing to share with us, God, if we just come to know you as our Savior, God. Lord, I pray that you be with each and every one of us, God, as we are the church, God, as we go out into this world, God, as we try to shine a light into the darkness, God. Lord, I just pray that you be with us, God, that you give us what we need, God, that you give us the strength, Lord, and just, Lord, the courage, God, to be who it is that you've called us to be. And God, I pray here tonight, Lord, that if there be one here, Lord, that has an issue, God, Lord, if there's something they've been struggling through life with, Lord, if they just can't seem to find an answer, God, I just pray a special prayer for them, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you might touch them, God, that you, Lord, that they might reach out to you, God, Lord, that you might grab a hold of them, God, wrap them up in your loving arms and let them know that there is a Savior who cares and who loves them, God, and that He's going to take care of them. Lord, just pray that your hand, Lord, would just touch each and every one here. Lord, be with us, keep us safe as we go, Lord, to our appointed places. In thy holy and precious Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you. You still got time to catch it.